Lou, we should tell a little bit about the background for people who haven't actually seen your shows, because you are a well-known comedian. But you also, you really were a boat person, weren't you?
Yeah, we came to Australia. We left Vietnam the second last day before Vietnam finished, the war finished. So April 29th, 1975. And we jumped on a boat and we left. Yeah, we picked up by the American Navy and taken to refugee camps on Guam. They built all these refugee camps, and we were on Guam for about 4 months. And then, well, they said we can go. We decided we could go to either France, Canada, or Australia. And we didn't want to go to France because, you know, French people live there. And we didn't want to go to Canada because, you know, French people live there. So, so we picked Australia. Because my uncle was living here as a student in at RMIT in Melbourne, so he just sponsored us to come over.
Yeah, well, it always helps when you've got family relations who sort of pave the way. But you settled in Melbourne, and actually Melbourne's a very cosmopolitan city. So how long did it take you to sort of get a handle on the place and be part of the whole scene?
Melbourne, yeah, we landed here in the middle of winter. Never felt this cold ever in our life, right? We thought we would, where have we landed, right? So, I went to St Kilda Primary School, and it was the Greeks who took me under their wing, because, you know, Melbourne's got more Greeks than Greece, right? So the Greek boys, they took me under their wing. We look after this dude. And so they taught me how to speak Greek. I spoke Greek before I spoke English. But they were horrible people. We would walk to school together. We were 9-year-old kids. We'd walk to school together, and they go into the milk bar and ask for 20 cents worth of pusties and 20 cents worth of malakas. So pussies, which means 20 cents worth of pufters and 20 cents worth of wankers, right? So I didn't know. So I went to the milk bar and asked for 20 cents worth of pufters, 20 cents worth of malakas, and the milk bar guy lost his mind, right? He jumped the counter and he took off the really heavy tan sandals that Greek people wear. He just beat me out of the milk bar, and we got out of the milk bar, and all the Greek kids, they're on the ground laughing their heads off. So yeah, that's my introduction to Melbourne.
I always wonder, at what age do people discover humour as a method of defence? And because obviously, you know, it became that for you.
Yeah, straight away at school, I think primary school. Just for survival, really. You know, it's just so I don't get picked on. You know, so yeah, so I turn into the smart ass in the back of the class, and I had to have the last word. Even if the teacher has the last word, I always have the word after it, and I always get sent to the principal's office. And I'll spend more time in the principal's office than anywhere else, you know. So I go in there, and the dude, he had shag pile carpets, you know. So we go in there, we take our shoes off, and he makes you take your shoes off, sit down. And seems that, I was really good at maths back then because, you know, we're Asians, you know, and, you know, we were doing long division at 2 years old, you know. And here, you know, you don't do long division until you're 9 years old. And I was so good at it. So the principal, he would sit me down in a shag pile carpet and get me to give him numbers for Taz Lotto. And we would do that. That was my punishment. Give the principal Taz Lotto numbers. It was hilarious.
Now, your book is called The Crappiest Refugee, which is a play on somebody else's book, The Happiest Refugee. I just wonder how that's gone down.
How's it gone down with him, or how's it gone down? I don't think, not really well. I think I asked him to write it. I know him. I know Ando. You know, we're stand-up comedians together. Yeah. But, you know, this is Australia. If you're going to put out a book saying that you're the best at something, my job is to turn it round. That's my job. This is Australia. So I call it a crappiest refugee. I don't think he's very happy about it, but, you know, hey, you know, it's not it's not a competition. You know, we're all in this together. We're all in the same boat, you know. So yeah, he's millionaire from his book, you know. It's had 5 reprints. So I'm nothing. I'm just, you know. I'm buying my own. I buy more of my books than anyone else. So, you know.
You're still on your first edition, are you there?
Yeah, first edition. Yeah, but, you know, this is my third book. And so every 10 years, so I wrote one, when I was 30, one when I was 40, and one when I was 50. So I'll wait for another 10 years and I'll write you another one.